please now, send us money, otherwise we're going to faint, man. Otherwise, he thinks that, look, two different specialists, medical specialists, all right? I emphasize the fact that they're medical specialists for you to know that they are well-educated people. That's why I emphasized it. Both of them Christians. And they did not know I was paying money to be on radio. Both of them said they thought that all you needed to do was to be good in preaching. Honestly, I wish it was so. No, there was a day, when one of them said it to me first, the first one that said it to me, amongst the two people I'm referring to in my mind, I now connected with why one man also said he used to watch me on TV and said he doesn't see me there anymore. And I told him that no one was able to television broadcast. We started on NT, Enugu here. I don't know how many of you remember. Then, after the first quarter, we just discontinued it. Well, for those who want to know, the one reason is because we had 30 minutes, all right, and covering just Enugu area. One went in, we thought they had a wider coverage. The way they sold the thing to us, we thought the coverage was extending far wider than that. So we had paid before we found out it was relatively narrow. So we allowed the quarter to finish, then I just discontinued. And we found out for that amount of money, we could cover the whole of sub-Saharan Africa for 1 hour instead of 30 minutes slot. So, you know, it made sense. So that fellow was asking me that did that, and that's just explained briefly that we decided to use it. It was trying to explain that, that he used to enjoy it, you know, after dinner, he would sit down and be watching it. It used to be at night, and in my mind, now I was looking at him. It was later on when the other fellow spoke, I realized that he thought, because it wasn't costing anything, you know, why did you remove it? After all, it was entertaining us. That is good. Now, why did I say that, you know, just by any way? So I told that brother, what do you do with your money? I said, what do you like? If you love the gospel, those things are costing money. Do I need to come to your house and beg? You're getting my point. It is where your, you know, where your heart is, your treasure follows it. That's what it is with money and Christianity. I told the brother straight, do what you like. But that is because you have been taught on what is right, what is good. When we say do what you like, we already know as believers that we don't lay up treasure for tomorrow. So when we say do what you like, that's what we are talking about. What upsets me, like I was saying earlier, which was why I went to do that, is the condemnation Christians come into because they did not calculate properly. I heard a man preach that Christians are not tithing well. Now, you know, oh God, have mercy on us, we preachers. Sometimes, you know, Jesus said that you have placed a burden upon people that you and your fathers could not carry. After brethren have become diligent in their tithing, someone has said that is the whole tithe. What is the whole tithe now? I've calculated the earning for you, giving you 10%. You are now saying the tithe is not whole. What is not whole in this thing now? Say, Pastor Banky, yesterday was your birthday. Yes. All the gifts you got, you should tithe them. I said, but there was no cash in it. The recharge card, don't go. I heard this man say to the extent that if somebody, you know, maybe gives you a gift, maybe I give you a shirt, you will value the shirt like an American tax collector, you know, Uncle Sam, like they say in America, and then deduct, go and pay off. There's actually a rule like that in the Old Testament. It's called redeeming something. That is, if, for example, if you're, because the first offspring of all your animals, I think males, they belong to God. So, some of your animals are unclean, so you can't use them as sacrifices to God, like a donkey. So if you have a donkey, you have a horse, all right? It gives birth. So what you do is that you take a lamb and use to replace it. It's called redeeming that thing. And the Bible says, the way Moses said to them, if you don't want to redeem it, you break its neck. So, since I cannot tear off the arm of my shirt that you dashed me, they say the whole tithe is I'll go and value it and go and pay a portion of it as a tithe. Please. In fact, the day I was sitting down somewhere there, One day we were preaching this one in front. One brother beside me said, "My God, that is true." I said, "My friend, will you stop that? That's legalism." Normally I try to be nice. Now I was so vexed. I said, "My friend, will you stop that? That is legalism. It's pure legalism. Why am I preaching this series? I want to come out from under this condemnation, please. If they dash you a shirt, wear it unto the Lord. Let me get so bad, I buy you a bottle of drink. So what do? You pour libation. You see, people, you must understand that some of these things, that I'm telling you, you must know what Christianity is. Some of these things are pure idolatry. Because what the ancestors, that's the forefathers in Africa used to do, they put it on the floor. And the church wants to carry on those things, forgetting that they are in Christ. All those things, I told you, they were here before the Jews came, before Christianity came. They were here before we read the letters of the law. They are spiritual principles. But they were all types of what life should be in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the first fruit. Are you getting my point? So this is where type. The ancestor poured libations to avert curses, to give the gods their own. So he gave a traditional African man a drink. Before he sips it, first fruit onto the floor. And in case you think he just, go and check it. God, when he wants to take most of his offerings, Old Testament, he emphasized, you poured it on the floor. Go and check it. When you get an animal, God says, kill it. Don't eat the blood. Make sure you pour it like water on the floor. And when Jacob vowed to God that whatever you give me on this my trip, I will give you 10%. Go and read the scriptures. We are not told when he paid that vow. But of course, I did my research. Meditated. I found out what he did when he returned. He took all the animals. If there were 100,000, he took 10,000, slaughtered them, packed them in a heap, set fire to the thing, and burnt them to ashes. That's how God used to collect his things. But when he had a priesthood, he said, "Okay, don't do that anymore. You will give the meat over to the priests." But when there were no priests, when a man would just go to his sacrifice, he burnt the thing to ashes, he wasted it. And like I told you, it's a spiritual principle. But those things were types. They were things that people did to show respect for the spiritual realm. They were things that people did, do you understand, as a sign. Listen, they did not know, but those things were given to them as a sign that Christ was going to come. And when he came, please get my point. When he came, that was the end of it. That's why now you pour libation, now you invite demons into your life. Because once the glory departs, and you still maintain the structure, it is necessarily filled with evil spirits. You must understand there's a difference between old wine and new wine, old wineskin and new wineskin. And Jesus said you cannot mix the two. If you take new wine, put it in old wineskin, you are going to ruin the thing. You will waste the wine. It's not effective. That's what I was telling you, a lot of people, their Christianity is not effective because they have put the life of Christ into old wineskin. The life of Christ is destroying the wineskin and it's not being effective, it's being wasted. You approach God, you want to ask for something. God can't answer now. How will he answer you? Because the last offering you gave is in your mind. And you come to him in the name of Jesus. So there's confusion in heaven. It's called double-mindedness. Unstable in all his ways. Such a one cannot receive anything from the hand of God. Like I said to you before, when I was teaching on that, because what happens is that you instantly leave a particular realm, you enter to another realm. The realm you are in, the name of Jesus doesn't work there. That is, it doesn't work as a means of getting something when you come down to that level. It works. And when you are doing works now, you understand? Satan suddenly is an accuser. Then he gains power against you. So you say, "I have done this." Satan said, "He hasn't done this." "But I have done this one." He said, "But this one he did not do. I gave a tithe, I gave first fruit, I gave special seed, I gave a prophet's offering, I did all of that." God, Satan said, "Fine, that is true. But remember, Lord, you said when you want to come, you come in the list of the saints. How many beggars did he pass on the way to church that day?" But you know, when you are driving to church, they were at every junction, they were there. tapping on your window. You didn't give them a dime. What they wanted was crumbs that will fall from the table. 5 naira, 10 naira. You went to church with a 100,000 naira offering. You did not give them a dime. So you want to say, I give a special seed. Satan says to you, but you saw that boy. He was hardly more than 5 years old. All he wanted was 10 naira to buy pure water. Accusation. Why? You took yourself away from where you had security. You came down to the level of works, and there is now fire for fire. And Jesus can't do anything. You are not making any pleading based upon his name, not upon his blood. You are pleading your works. So he's watching you like this. At the end of the day, that's how you gave. You tithed, you sowed seed, you did first fruit, you did everything. 6 years, nothing. God said, listen, do you want deliverance? Hear the truth. Confess your sins. What is your sin? Of relying on your works. Say, confess your sins. You have been relying on your works. That's why I've not been able to do anything for you. I can't. Because you're confusing the heavens. You took new wine. You poured into old wineskin. The wine poured out. You wasted the wineskin. You wasted the wine. Say, make up your mind. I'm giving you new wine. Then go and get new wineskin. What does wineskin mean? You have to have a different mindset. A different structure. Totally different. When you are, look, listen. No, this money matter, I just know I can't stop talking about it. And I don't think it's my fault. Is it my fault? And I think it's your fault. Okay, it's our fault. We are always doing this thing because, in today's Christianity, oh my God, we have made God look like a merchant. When he's not, he's a father. One of the things that God did for me in life, that helped me to understand the scriptures, also give me a wife and give me children. After I did that, man, I understood things. I understood things. I understood the heart of a father. You know, I just realized that some of these things we say about God, it can't be true. If 1/50 of it is true, it can't be a father as good as me. And how can God be a father not as good as me? Because the things I know to do for my children, you are saying to me, God doesn't know to do for his own. That's the way it is. The things I know to do for my children, you are telling me God can't do for his own. What are you talking about here? And that's what this thing that I'm preaching now, that's what it's about. A brother talked to me once. He said, I don't ask God for anything. I wrote the story in one of our books. I said, you don't? I was shocked. We were sitting somewhere around here that day. I said, why? I mean, as hard as life can be, you don't ask God for anything. Okay, maybe you're so much into revelation that instead of asking, you call those things that be not as though they were and they just appear poor. She said, God, don't worry, I can handle it. Maybe. He said, of course, that was what I was talking about. He said, because I don't know what I've done for him that he should do anything for me. I say, yay. Foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you into thinking nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own? That's what we have. I told you before, wrong doctrine is a real problem. Then I had 2 children. I said, you know my sons? Yes, he knows me very well. I said, what do they do for me before I do for them? Suddenly he understood it. He understood it instantly. What do they do for me? Nothing. I told you before, I don't believe in this. Some parents say you take care of your children so they will take care of you tomorrow. That's a poverty mentality. My prayer to God is that as I'm growing old, you understand? It's just that I pray for my children, they will prosper. Otherwise, my children direct, I won't bother with them. By the time I'm going to build home with the Lord, it's their own children and their children's children I'll be dealing with. Those ones, I will settle them massively. Because the Bible says houses and riches are from the fathers. I'm talking about taking care of you when you're old. Who wants to be old? You planning to be old? I plan to remain young, man. And it's in the scriptures. In the kingdom of heaven, you walk with the word of God. You walk by faith. You walk with peace of mind. The rest of God, at the age of 100, you are called a youth. It's in the Bible like that. No, I pray to God when I'm 90. Nobody will give me a chair to use to preach. I will never stop preaching. You know, say, this preacher has retired. I wonder, how can a preacher retire? What are you now doing? You are watching sunset. I pray to God, of course, health is my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All these osteoporosis lies, I don't believe a word of it. If you don't believe it, it won't happen to you. Your eyes become weak, it will not happen to you if you don't believe it. You start forgetting. The only reason why you forget something is that there are many things to remember. But your brain will not get weaker. If you don't believe their nonsense, it won't happen to you. For that reason, at the age of 90, and you know, like I keep on saying, things that eyes have seen, ears have heard. Are you not telling me God can't do it? When God can do the ones that eyes have not seen and ears haven't heard. My eyes have seen 90-year-old men jogging. Saw a man, I think it was 80-something or 90-something, retiring from marathon. Do you hear what I said? A 90-year-old man retiring from marathon. I don't mean marathon around his household. I mean either a mini marathon or a full marathon. If it's a small marathon, it's 20-something kilometers. It's a full marathon, 42 kilometers. He was just retiring at the age of 90. And he began the marathon at the age of 75 when his wife died to combat depression. Eyes have seen it. Ears have heard it. So are you saying God cannot do that one? When God will do the one that eyes haven't seen, God can make a dead man get up and jog small. That one that eyes haven't seen. For that reason, I'm not taking care of my children because one day they'll take care of me. No. No. I take care of them because it's my duty and I love them. So, how much more God? Are you saying I'm a better father than him? Come on, I can't possibly be. That's why I'm teaching all these teachings. I see Christians, they are under bondage. They give as if, if I don't give, I'm in trouble. If I don't tithe, the devourer will come after me. Except that thing is not in the Bible. That a Christian that doesn't tithe, a devourer will come after him. That thing is not scripture. It's not in Malachi. There are many things in Malachi, my brother. Many things. I don't have time to analyze it now. I'm not talking about tithing. All of which don't concern you. Beyond the matter of learning certain principles. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death. Don't scare me with any devourer. Any devourer that comes near him, we'll have a devouring contest. Let's see who can devour first. I devour you. You are getting my principle. A Christian is not motivated by fear of the devourer. He's only motivated by fear of God and the love of God. Period. See, Christians, they are afraid. Afraid. You don't pray if you say somebody's car will have an accident. Or like one brother said, he says, he's clothed with tears. He says, because his devourer didn't tithe. It is this condemnation that is annoying. The reason why Jesus died is to ensure that you don't have to walk like that. Many of the things we are practicing were given as types of what Christ will do for you. That when you do these things, you get this kind of freedom. But when you're in Christ, you get more freedom. That's what they were saying. That's what they were about. That if you're in Christ, listen, whoever did this one will get you, you're getting more than it will. Very crucial. That's what I'm going to explain. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not obedience to certain laws, you know, certain principles that were there before him. No. That's why I was saying the other day, it sounded like a joke, but I know what I'm talking about. Christians don't give attention to what makes for their life. They give attention to what doctors say, what common sense says, what medical science says. If you jog, you live long. You read the scripture, you don't see any man jogging there. So Isaac, where's your father? He went to jog. Am I saying people shouldn't jog? Of course you should jog. It's good to be fit. I mean, in fact, you will feel better when you are light on your feet. I like to be able to run upstairs. You know, it makes me happy. And when the Lord has, you know, materially manifested some things in my life, I will have a gym in my home. It's good. It's the will of God. It's not the key to long life. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Footballers have collapsed and died. Footballers. The only people fitter than footballers are basketballers and swimmers. Yeah, they collapsed and died. Swimmers are swam and drowned because something went wrong while swimming. But Christians give attention to those things. Start taking Lipitor, cholesterol lowering drugs. If you are taking that thing, just know that you're on drugs. You see, your cholesterol is high. I just look at them. Look at the doctors. I've quarreled so much with many of my colleagues. I'm tired of quarreling. Say, leave this in the zone, my friend. They give an African man cholesterol lowering drugs. And he gets acute pancreatitis now. You are wondering why. Most of those medicines kill you faster than the disease. You just don't know. Because when you are dead, you don't know. You think that the doctor's tried. If you have not seen the doctor, you'll have lived longer. Yeah, you don't know now. You are dead. You don't know. But what I'm going to emphasize is the fact that Christians don't give attention to the things that actually make for long life. Listen. The thing that gives you long life, he said, in him was life. That's it. Is the more of the face of Christ you see that heals your body and makes you live longer. That's how it is. Christians won't read scripture and confess word in the morning. They've gone to Aquara Square. Are you seeing where your face is? 30 minutes in the morning. You say, after running around. Business the whole day. And on Sunday, he comes to church. And the sense will live long. If you were God, will you make him live long? The whole week, what does it mean is obeying some half-educated medical people. Yes, humanly speaking, they are the big guys now. But when God looks at these people, don't know anything. Half of the medicine they give you are poisonous. You believe them morning, afternoon, and night. Obey everything they say. Take the scriptures now and do your own activities of your mysterion. Are you getting my point? Of your own cult. You won't do it all. Declare the word. The word has life in it. People won't do that. They spend the choice part of the money running around town. Take the scriptures, digest it, find out what God has said about you. No. I have to go and jog. Like I said, jogging is not bad. It's not the key to long life. That's what I'm saying. It's the key to fitness, you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to explain. But there is something that has guarantees. That's what I'm saying. And that is the word of God. That word has given us liberty. The reason why we are still in bondage is because we don't give attention to it. That's what I'm trying to explain. God sent that word to liberate us. We don't give it attention. We obey every other person. And start walking in false doctrine. Trying to pay God off for things that he, in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, liberated us. All this, my messages, that's what it's about. To let you know there's liberty. There is liberty. You're not supposed to be walking afraid of God to striking you because you didn't calculate your first fruit correctly. Say, God, please bless me. Say, why should I? I called an accountant the other day. Your tithe was not complete. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. So what do I do? Pay 20% extra. I've heard a man preach before. Say, if your tithe is not complete, next time you're coming, you put 20% on top of it. I said, no, God. Your own Bible not complete. They stopped in Malachi. Stopped in Malachi. Because you cannot read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You know, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of those things down to Revelation. And you should be talking like this. It's not possible. You can't read Paul, the book of Colossians, and you'll be talking like this. It's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. That's my message. I said, Christ is what? The final truth. Many of the things we are trying to obey, they are the things that people used, that those are the methods people used before Christ came to them. They will now want to take the old wineskin and pour new wine into it, which was a problem that Paul had an issue with when he was writing the Galatians. He had preached to them the new wine of Christ. So people now came behind and started giving them the old wineskin. Say, this your new wine is good, though, but it needs to be stored in the old wineskin. And Paul said, no, 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 no. You cannot begin in the spirit and then perfect it in the flesh. It doesn't work. Please, I hope you are following me. I hope you are learning something from what I'm saying. You know, there's something we were supposed to read. Colossians chapter 2. I was just trying to back up to that Colossians chapter 1. That's why I went to all this talk. That gift of God matter. Let's just read this a bit. So, Paul, having said this, he said in that chapter 1 that this is what the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So for that reason, I'm sweating every time, trying to ensure that everybody understands this. He said, 29, he said, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Let's now serve verse 1 of chapter 2. For I wanted to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are in Laodicea and for all who, or for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. That is, everything is in Christ. Saying, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, just to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in what? Christ. Your faith in what?
Christ.
Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And how they receive him? By faith. He says, in the same manner walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. That is, you do this with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Please notice that. According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is the point. You have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He said, verse 13 says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. Please, as I'm reading, I want you to notice some things. The way it's using the past tense. That's what I want you to notice. The way it's using the past tense. He made you. You died with him and you were raised with him. Past tense. All right? He said, having canceled, verse 14, the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, he said, verse 16, he said, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or the new moon, or a Sabbath day. And I want you to understand that he was talking about Judaism here. He was not even concerned about the Gentile worship. These were issues about Judaism. He said, let nobody worry you about these things. He said, these things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to whom? To Christ. Again, that's the issue. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from which the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God.